Great to have you with me. 1-300-736-736. If you'd like to join me, 1-300-736-736. Are you going for a jog with a mate tomorrow and you're going to keep your 5 metres of distance behind them? Are you going for a solo bike ride tomorrow morning because you just want to get your bike ride done and keep yourself active? 1-300-736-736. Or if you're doing something online with a group of people to try and keep yourself active because you're a sports person and you love to have your workout, even if it's a bizarre workout in your own lounge room. 1-300-736-736. Take a couple of your calls. We've been talking about what businesses are and aren't open, what you can and can't do. Can three AFL players wearing gloves go down to the park and kick a footy and in a triangle formation as long as they arrive in three different cars and go home in three different cars and don't get within 10 metres of each other? Those kind of things are the questions that have been thrown up today. I don't have a definitive answer on any of it, but those are the things that everybody in business is asking themselves today. What can and can't we do so we can get some guidelines and work out what is right? We know that self-isolation and we know that being more disciplined with the social distancing is something that the AFL has tried to lead by example with. That's why we're not playing AFL this weekend in many respects, even though there are guidelines that with the fine print could allow the AFL, if they really wanted to have a round coming up this weekend. Even if Port Adelaide are in 14 days of shutdown, they could still play a showdown next, or in a couple of weekends' time against the Adelaide Crows. We could have a derby, we could have a Q clash, but the AFL deciding that shutting down sends the better message, sends the right message to the general public that we need to take the social distancing and the isolation situations more seriously than we have before. Australian gold medal hopeful Kelsey Lee Barber will also join us shortly for the reaction to the news that the AOC is briefing athletes to prepare for an Olympic Games in 2021 in Tokyo. So we'll continue to head down that path. But Brett Phillips from the First Serve being good enough to join me. That's still on tonight, 7 p.m. tonight on SEN, thanks to Green Life Group, your open space specialists at glgcorp.com. Welcome to you, Brett. Thanks for joining me in these bizarre times.
It's crazy, isn't it, Dwayne? I'm only thinking about half an hour ahead, so 7 o'clock tonight feels like an eternity away. But, yeah, I mean, every sport, there's a lot going on, and tennis is no different. There are some things we do know, and there is some, you know, real cloud over whether the tour is going to resume this year, what the French Open did last week going rogue. And one thing we're going to explore tonight, Dwayne, and we're speaking to some of the heavy hitters tonight. The ITF president, David Haggerty, is going to join us from London, who's also an IOC member. He was elected a member about December of last year. So he'll, as he's waking up in London, also be able to shed some light on the Olympics, which, as you've said, it's a fait accompli. It's all going to be postponed. Craig Tiley's going to join us tonight. This is a really interesting situation because the French Open, as everyone who follows sport knows, last week said they sniffed the breeze and said, okay, the clay court season's going to be called off. We can't lose our French Open. We're building this beautiful new roof, huge infrastructure investment they've made at Roland Garros. We need to have the French Open, a bit like the Australian Open for Tennis Australia. It's a huge carrot that, you know, funds the operation and the money gets filtered down. So they go and announce, this is the thing about tennis, it's always bemused me, is that there is no, I suppose, overarching independent commission that sits over the top. You've got the ITF who govern the game globally. You've got the ATP and the WTA who govern the men's and women's professional tours respectively. But no one's on the same page. And we're going to talk to David Haggerty and Craig Tiley about that tonight, because what that has meant is the Laver Cup, which has obviously become now a fixture on the calendar. Yes, it's an exhibition, but it's on the calendar, not for points, but it attracts the big names. They get paid good money. They've sold out the TD Garden there in Boston in September, which will be right in the middle of this new proposed French Open date. Now, is this going to get, you know, the legalities involved here? I mean, there's lots of rumblings going on. So Craig Tiley to join us tonight. Mm. And we'll talk to Vasek Pospisil, the Canadian, who's probably the most outspoken player who's on the ATP Player Council, who have a fair say. Djokovic is the president. They have a fair say in the running of the game. They actually ousted the CEO of the ATP last year by a majority vote, Chris Kermode. So that's a very fragmented governance structure. But Vasek's going to join us from Canada. who's been really opposed, and Nadal and Federer actually coming back on the ATP Player Council. So hopefully we get a few answers tonight, Dwayne, because tennis is in a bit of a state of flux.
Yeah, and some players can train because they're in a country where they can move a little more freely than others, and they might have a tennis court in their backyard. So some players can train and other players can't train, can't go out of their unit, can't go out of their home, so they won't be able to train. And that, you know, almost leads us to an unfair playing field as well, having a few reports coming through that some councils here are closing parks. So you can't go down to the park with your daughter or your son and have a kick-to-kick. So they're closing parks, so you can't do that. Another coming through, and I knew golf courses were shutting here. So even, you know, getting a friend around for a hit of tennis, if you're Roger Federer, or a hitting partner, is that going to be allowed if he's got a tennis court in his backyard?
Well, it's an interesting one because I've been speaking to quite a few of the tennis coaches the last few days. Obviously, Tennis Australia put out a memo last week to state that obviously no competition could be played, no governed competition by TA or the state governing bodies, but tennis coaches could still run lessons, you know, small groups. I mean, if you think about it, probably, you know, the tennis club is maybe one of the safer places to be than possibly a school or other overcrowded areas, you know, that distance, social distancing and so forth. Now, I know some coaches have continued to operate. As far as I know, unless Tennis Australia has done this in the last 5 minutes, they haven't come down and said tennis coaches can't operate, but we're going to get to the bottom of that tonight. But I do know that some have taken the stance, a bit like, you know, parents deciding not to send their kids to school, is that they're saying, okay, we're not going to have the coaching lessons. We'll just put that on suspension for the moment. So we'll try and get to the bottom of that one tonight as well.
Yeah, I can understand with kids in a small space or even adults in a small space, you can't do it. And that's the thing about the how many is too many. The AFL clubs are going through that at the moment. You know, one-on-one, kick-to-kick with gloves, is that too many because it sends a wrong message? So all those kind of things are being worked out. So what else is on the show tonight? For the Green Life Group, your open space specialist at glgcorp.com, 7 o'clock tonight. What else have you got for us?
Yeah, well, Sam Groth will be with me. So Grothy's right across plenty that's going on. He's talking to a lot of the players, Dwayne, so he'll be able to give us some great insights into that. We've got Dr. Colin Carbis, who's actually done an audit on a few tennis clubs, to also fill us in on probably being one of the, as I said, the safer places maybe to be, but unless there's a strict you know, memo that comes out from higher above that prevents tennis clubs from being open. So we'll try and get to the bottom of that. But, yeah, hopefully we get a few answers. And I would say right now, if the Olympics, and we know, I mean, it's, yeah, absolutely it won't go ahead. I would say right now, Dwayne, I'd put my house on it that Wimbledon is not going to go ahead either. So that is huge for you know, the home of tennis. I can't see that happening at the start of the grass court season, which is what, end of June. I think that's going to be very unrealistic.
No, I think that's going to be the case with so many sports around the world, especially sports that have international competition as opposed to sports that might be able to take place in country. Thanks a lot for your time, Brett. I'll be listening tonight, 7 o'clock.
Good man. Thanks, Dwayne.
Brett Phillips, the Green Life Group, your open space specialist at glgcorp.com. Kelsey Lee Barber to join me after the break, reigning javelin world champion and gold medal hopeful for Tokyo 2021 now, by the looks of things.